shall see. Never a dull moment, though, is there?
Nah, definitely not.
Well, we'll circle back to Barca in a little bit here. But let's take a little trip in our time machine back to Tuesday at the Wanda Metropolitano, where Atletico beat Bayer Leverkusen by a 1-0 to take control of their Champions League group stage fate. Along with Juventus, they are, while not nailed on to go through Ewan, it's looking pretty dang good.
Yeah, it really is. And for a moment, it was looking even better when Lokomotiv Moscow were up at Juventus. Because at that point, you're maybe thinking, can Atletico win this group? But having beaten Bayer Leverkusen, a Bayer Leverkusen team that hasn't been good this season, hasn't started well in Champions League either, then at this point, Atletico are really much on course to finish at least in the top two and maybe have a chance of beating Juventus to first place. Both of them, of course, right now on 7 points, way ahead in that group.
And Atletico can actually clinch a spot in the last 16 as soon as match day 4 with another victory over Leverkusen combined with a Juve victory over Lokomotiv. It looks like it's going to come down to that rematch in Turin as it pertains to who's going to win this group. It looks very much like match day 5 is going to decide potentially who takes first and who takes second. Lokomotiv were really pretty impressive on Tuesday too. Held out really as long as they could before Dybala put them away with the 2 goals in 2 minutes. But yeah, overall, Atletico taking a huge step forward toward the knockouts. This is actually the first 1-0 Champions League win at the new stadium, which was surprising to me considering how many times we talk about Atletico winning 1-0 games, Ewan.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. But yeah, when you put it like that, it's there hasn't been any because they've either been really good or quite disappointing in the Champions League. They've obviously had the draw with Karabag, the defeat to Chelsea. But then at the same time, when they've won, they've often won quite big. You know, 3 goals against Bruges, 2-0 against Juventus in the knockouts last year, 2-2 this year. So, yeah, you usually get your money's worth when you go to the Champions League at the Wanda, but I don't think that was the case this Tuesday because, let's be honest, this was an awful game to watch.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this was not very good. There weren't many players covering themselves in glory in this game. I think talent won this match. Overall, Alvaro Morata getting the only goal on 78 minutes, really not too long after he came off the bench replacing Koke. In the end, Atletico's talent and perhaps their Champions League experience seeing out games like this, that's what won them this match because it was not a very entertaining game at all.
Yeah, exactly. The Champions League experience of the players in the middle, the players in defence, even though this was a new defence, but you had Jimenez there at the start for a little bit and Oblak behind Marshall and everything. Once you had the back four of all four of the summer signings, and the first time we've seen all four of them together, Trippier, Lodi, Hermoso and Felipe, that was the back four for a bit after Jimenez's injury. So some of the players in there have Champions League experience, and then one of the players who doesn't at all is Renan Lodi, but he was the one who had the talent that you're talking about to prove the difference because it was a good header from Morata, but that goal was made by Renan Lodi in his fantastic cross.
That was a perfect cross, yes, and the pre-assist from Thomas Lemar as well, which is a positive sign for him. That cross, though, was just perfect. That is the kind of moment that Simeone had dreamt about since he decided to pair Costa and Morata together, that one of those guys would get their head on one of those crosses and bang, it's a goal. And it came at a huge moment for Morata, who I think Simeone tried to light a fire under him, so to say, by starting him on the bench in this game. Arguably, I wouldn't say not the right decision, but a surprise decision in my mind.
Yeah, a bit of a surprise decision. I wrote this week on Into the Calderon about the sort of use of Diego Costa, yeah. And part of the issue with the use of Diego Costa is it means the lack of use of Alvaro Morata. I think he's had a very good start to the season. He had that moment of madness where he got sent off in Mallorca. He's had a few injuries, but when he's played, he's been effective, even if he's not always scoring, not always assisting. I think in the first few wins of the season, when they won by 1 goal against Getafe, Leganes and Eibar to start perfectly, Morata was really important in those games. He in the game against Leganes, he was just the guy up the top, winning balls against the back three of Leganes. A really tough shift there to help Atletico get that victory. So for him to not be playing and Costa to be playing all the time when he's just not doing anything, I thought was a bit strange. And there was the header when Atletico were so struggling to create chances in this match. They had one chance for Costa, a perfect, open, unmarked Costa, and he didn't even connect with the header. And then you saw, not long afterwards, Alvaro Morata, a similar kind of chance, and he put it away. So glad to see Morata come on, and hopefully he'll get the start at the weekend, because I think he's played his way into it.
Yeah, Costa totally scuffed that chance. I remember that chance you're talking about. That was really, that should have been a goal.
I don't even
as well.
Know if it went out. I don't even think it went out of play. It kind of just sort of went diagonally towards the side. I don't even, yeah, he just scuffed it. Really.
He just totally missed it. Yeah, but Morata didn't miss his chance, thankfully, for Simeone and Atletico. Just two shots on target in this game for Atletico, one for Leverkusen. When we say this was not a very good game, we really mean it. The chances were few and far between. There was a lot of pressing and counter-pressing of kind of varying intensity, but we still, at least for me, there are still some pretty big concerns I'm harboring about Atletico. The positive sign, though, is that Barata did get the goal. And in João Félix's absence, he's going to be out for the next month, probably, give or take. Those guys, those very expensive forwards, are going to have to score the goals, Ewan.
Yeah, they're going to have to score the goals, but maybe a bigger issue is just getting the ball to them in positions where they can score the goals, because I think that's something we noticed in the Tuesday night game, was the absence of João Félix, who's been hot and cold. He's had his moments so far this season, but at least he's a player who's taking players on, taking defenders on, trying to get forward in the same way that Lamar did when he came on. But before that, there was just nobody risking, nobody wanting to take on their man. That's because you didn't have a winger on the pitch. You had Correa, but he was playing as a striker almost. So you didn't have anybody to sort of cause any issues for a fullback. That's something João Félix has been doing. He's been bringing the ball forward himself. And once you do that, you get the ball into attacking areas where then you can get it to Costa, Morata, and, you know, flip a coin and see if they're going to have a good day or a bad day. But when you don't have João Félix, you might not even get the ball to them. And it kind of took some really good crossing from the fullbacks. Trippier for that chance for Costa, and Lodi for the chance for Morata that was a goal. I think we're going to have to rely even more on those two really good fullbacks, and not just the forwards, as a consequence of the João Félix absence.
Yeah, someone else has to get the ball in there to these guys. Lemar is going to kind of be my choice. This is, I wouldn't say a make or break time for him, but this is an important time for him, potentially for Correa and Vitolo as well. Correa got the start on Tuesday, and I thought it was one of his better performances, even though it wasn't very good. He lasted about an hour. Yeah, with João Félix out, this is a really good chance for Lemar, Vitolo, etc., for those guys to get a little continuity and maybe give Cholo something to think about when João returns. But the fullbacks have been so key to this point in the season. They've both been in very good form, not many dips at all. Lodi's adjustment in particular, his adaptation has been really, really amazing, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, and even more so when you consider one of the recent interviews that came out where he said after 3 weeks he wanted to go home.
Yep.
He didn't like Madrid.
He wanted to go back to Brazil.
He enjoyed his time there and was considering how he could get back to Brazil, but he settled down. He's had a lot of players, I think, in the dressing room have really come around him and helped him settle in off the pitch as well. And then on the pitch, he's just been fantastic. So after that first match where he was a bit unlucky to get himself sent off, and after that first few weeks where he had a tough time off the pitch, for him to have become such an important player for Atletico already, if you were to rank the Atletico players in number of importance, he'd probably be in the top five or six already, which is amazing considering how new he is to this squad. So he's done a great job of coming in, settling in, making himself important.
Yeah, he's up there, and he hasn't been exposed defensively very much. Trippier hasn't either, though early on Tuesday, Trippier had some struggles, particularly covering up the space behind him. Jose Jimenez kind of had to compensate, and maybe it contributed, maybe it didn't, but on 15 minutes, Jimenez has to come off with what is another hamstring injury. He's going to be out for a couple weeks, and disappointing for Jose Ma, isn't it? Because he's now the leader of this defense in Godin's absence. He was named a captain before the start of the season. He had been healthy, but he's going to be on the shelf again for a little while.
Yeah, he is. He's been the leader of the team, not just the defense, but the team, I think, so far this season. And not maybe not the most important player because I think that's Oblak, but in terms of the outfielders, he's been the guy, the reliable guy that you can trust. And it's a big blow because he's been so important. Atletico really need him. And you have a couple of tricky games coming up. You've got this weekend Athletic Club at home, maybe not too difficult because they don't travel well. But after that, before the next international break, you've got trips to Alaves and to Sevilla and Bayer Leverkusen as well. Three away games in a row, and it's not certain that Jimenez will be back for those games. So that's got to be a bit of a worry, especially because Stefan Savic is still out injured as well. So you've got Felipe, you've got Hermoso, you've got Trippier, you've got Lodi. So right now, you basically don't have anybody in reserve when it comes to defence. Santiago Arias right now is your only other first-team defender.
And last week, Simeone did try out Marcos Llorente at center back in training. Maybe that becomes a feasible option. I mean, it would give Llorente a chance to impress. He's not getting into in this midfield right now. Did not play on Tuesday, in part because of the Jimenez substitution for Hermoso, but Llorente didn't play again on Tuesday. Maybe we start to see that because there is going to need to be a third center back while Jimenez and Savic recover.
Yeah, Llorente might be your break in case of emergency option there. I'm not sure if it's one that Simeone will trust. We haven't really seen him trust Llorente in his natural position in midfield very much. So I don't know if he'll trust him at centre back, but it is an option, and I'm sure Hector Herrera as well could do a job there. Thomas Partey, of course, has played there before, and Saul, they played actually together. I think it was in that game against Athletic Club, who they're playing at the weekend, that famous game last season when Godin ended up as a centre forward up front, and I think we finished the game with the centre back duo of Saul and Thomas. So hopefully that isn't seen this time when they play Athletic Club, but it is an option that's been there before and that Simeone knows he can use. But you always want to have natural defenders, especially when it's a new look defense and you want to start building some chemistry for the long term.
Yeah, that's a serious situation of break in case of emergency. That's a real, you don't want to have to do that unless it is a real emergency. So, yeah, we'll see. But Hermoso came on Tuesday and put in his best shift as an Atleti player so far. Led all players with 9 clearances in his 75 minutes. Looked pretty assured with the ball. Showed off some quickness, his athleticism. Really good performance by him, I thought.
Yeah, and it was he got to play in his natural position for a change. He wasn't
Yes.
a left back. He wasn't used as a third centre back. He was just playing where he wants to play. So yeah, this was a good performance for Hermoso coming on in the Champions League game as well. It's not easy to do. He'd come on already in one of the games, but only for a few minutes. So first Champions League game proper in his career, and he was up to the task against a Leverkusen side that didn't do very much. But you have to be there. You have to be strong. You have to fill the boots of someone who's a great player like Jimenez. And yes, certainly can't fault Hermoso for his performance.
Yeah, Kevin Volland, is Leverkusen's leading goal scorer, had one shot in this match. It was not on target over his 90 minutes. That's a pretty good barometer for how Hermoso and Felipe Montero did as well. And Felipe just continues to impress me. He has not made any mistakes so far this season, and he's quickly won Cholo's trust. So that's a really good sign for him and for Hermoso, especially with Jimenez and Savic out. This is a big chance for Hermoso. As Felipe has become a part of the plans, maybe Hermoso does as well.
Yeah, Felipe's been great. It's the big Porto centre back signing from the summer was Eder Militao, wasn't it? But it seems that Atletico got the right one because he's been excellent so far, and an experienced guy. Remember, he's 30 years old, so he knows what he's doing. He's not a guy like Renan Lodi, who's at a new club but is also young. A guy like Mario Hermoso, who's at a new club but is also young. No, Felipe is at a new club, but he's been there around. He's an experienced guy. He knows what he's doing, and you can slot him in and expect him to perform in Champions League games because he's been doing it for years for Porto.
Won a league title at Porto, was in the Champions League quarterfinals last year. He has been around, so it's important to have that kind of experience, especially with a younger defense that doesn't have quite that reputation yet. So he's kind of the grizzled veteran as of now, with Savic especially out. Speaking of clearances, Diego Costa made 5 of them in this match, Ewan. That was an interesting statistic to read.
Yeah, does his header towards goal count as one of them? I'm not sure if that if that's how they're working that out. Yeah, Diego Costa is the kind of guy that puts himself around. You can never fault his work ethic. He gets around there, and there were a lot of set pieces to defend in this game. That was, for both teams, for most of the first hour, that was the only sniff of goal either side had, was that set piece opportunities. So yeah, for Atletico, it's important to have strikers who can come back and head the ball away, as well as get on the end of crosses in the other half. And Costa and Morata are both guys who can do that. So, yeah, no surprise to see Costa getting involved. But, yeah, a little bit surprising. He had quite so many clearances in the game. I wouldn't have expected that.
It's both a good and bad sign, I think. You want him playing closer to goal, of course, and he still has just the 2 shots on target this season. All 5 of his clearances came within the 18-yard box. One of them came within the 6-yard box in stoppage time. So, again, you take the good with the bad. And there has been, as you wrote for Into the Calderon this week, there has been some bad with Costa, but one of the theories that you posted in that piece is that, you know, his work ethic and his leading by example, particularly off the pitch, is translating to on-the-pitch time.
I think so. I mean, I was trying to work out why is Costa playing just quite so much. I mean, he didn't play the first 2 games of the season, but since then, the past 9 games, he's played 866 minutes out of a possible 900, which is the 3rd most in the team after Oblak and Saul. So that's just a little bit strange, because he's not been in good form. He's an older player. I'm just not quite sure why he's been playing so much. But yeah, there's a bunch of theories going around, and I don't know, but at the end of the day, Simeone is using them this much, and it's not been great in terms of results. But maybe Costa just needs time. Maybe he just needs to shake off some rust, and maybe in the long term, it's going to pay off.
Yeah, we'll have to keep a very close eye on him. So Costa has been somewhat of a lightning rod for criticism since his return to Atletico, and it hasn't really lightened up, so to speak. Another player who has come under some scrutiny, particularly the past week or so, is Koke Yu, and he came off with 20 minutes to go, which does raise eyebrows, because as we know, Simeone never substitutes him. And he came off to whistles, which was really, really surprising to me, because I can't really recall Koke ever being whistled by Atletico supporters. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I can't remember either. It was a little bit strange, and some whistles for Simeone as well. There were some of the most vocal fans behind the south goal were started up Ole 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 Cholo Simeone kind of chant, and they were whistled by some other guys in the crowd, and they only ramped up their volume even higher at that point. But interesting to see Simeone and Koke both whistled by some sections of the crowd. A little bit of frustration kicking in after several draws at home in a row. But Simeone was asked about this after the game, the press conference, and basically said, you know, I just love that people are passionate. I love that the fans are passionate. And he just likes that they're animated and involved. And even if it's been converted into criticism of him or his captain, he's just happy that they're involved and that they care about something. And he said himself, you know, we have to turn these whistles into applause. And little by little, with wins like this, maybe that's what's going to happen.
And the players are behind Koke as well. There's been plenty of support for him. So everyone's behind Koke. He's the captain. And this is still a learning experience for him, too, that this is his first full season as captain. You also wrote about this in the past, Ewan, is that he has learned under some of the best in Gabby and Godin. But it can be at least a little different when you have the mantle all for yourself. And his form has been, well, inconsistent this season. He didn't play very well Tuesday. Picked up a really needless yellow card, and there was that risk that maybe he was going to get sent off. Just wasn't very productive. Did a lot of running, but not a whole lot else.
Yeah, exactly. It's not been the best season for him, and I think you make a good point there about the captaincy. It's very different being a vice-captain and being captain for one match here, one match there. It's very different being the permanent captain, because it's not just a thing on the match day of wearing the armband and being in charge on a game day. It's a thing you have to think about all week long. Every promotional event, every post-match, every pre-match, all week, all the sort of extra responsibility that comes with that. That still happens to the captain, even if he's injured or suspended. So when Koke filled in before for the likes of Gabby or Godin, he didn't have to deal with that. Now he does, and yeah, it's an extra pressure for him, and yeah, something that some players do take a bit of time to get used to.
And perhaps that's the case with Koke. We don't really know fully, But everyone's behind him, as can be expected. You talk about loyal servants. He is about as loyal as they come. He's now, I think, into the top five in all-time appearances for this club at 27 years old, which is still kind of jaw-dropping. And I don't know if – I wrote about this too this week, is that, you know, we don't know if all the miles are starting to show for him, if all the minutes he has played, all the games he has played, now well over 400 of them in his career, if that's starting to take its toll. We don't really know yet. But his start to the season has been a little inauspicious. It's been, by his standards, not the best. And he is a guy who, for so many years, we've talked about as kind of holding this all together, holding Atletico's midfield together by doing a little bit of everything.
Yeah, exactly. It's a symptom of the whole team, isn't it? It's just nobody's really been at their level this season. I think Thomas Partey has been the only player, I would say, who's taken a step up this season in terms of his play. Maybe Jimenez as well, but then Jimenez, maybe it's just a step up in terms of responsibility. And Oblak is Oblak. Oblak's always been Oblak. So I don't think there's many players we can go through right now and say that they've been as good as they were last year, as good as they were a couple of years ago, as good as they'll be in the future. But so that's just another one, like Koke, to add to the list.
His form is going to be something to watch. I think he is arguably the key player as we kind of fast forward a bit through this weekend. He's going to be one of the key guys to watch against Athletic, see if he responds to some of the criticism and if he kind of feeds off the support his teammates have given him and his coach has given him. You mentioned Athletic don't travel well, Ewan, and you are right about that. Their away form last season was really, really poor, and they have not won yet this year. Just 2 goals in 4 away from home. And these are two teams who have gotten off to pretty similar starts. Both started out very well. Athletic were top of the table for a time, so were Atletico, I think, in back-to-back weeks. They both scored 8 goals in 9 games and conceded 5.
Really? So exactly going
exactly
into
the
same form.
And Atletico are just 3 points behind Atletico as well.
Right. It's going to be an interesting one, but I feel with these two teams that when one of them plays at home, it just has such a massive advantage. I was at the game in Bilbao earlier this year, just after Atletico had been knocked out of the Champions League against Juventus, and they went to San Mames, and it was one of the worst Atletico performances I can remember, but 10 times worse than the way they played in Turin, which wasn't great either. So Atletico had home advantage that time. They made the most of it. Atletico had home advantage last year. They managed to scrape through with that Godin winner when they only had well, he could barely stand. Mm-hmm. And I think this time it's going to be maybe a bit more of a convincing win, because Athletic Club are just not a team that can travel well on the road. Atletico, they're missing Jimenez and Savic and Joao Felix, but they do have a fairly deep squad for this one, and I just think that they can grind out another kind of home victory, maybe 1-0, maybe 2-0, but I'm feeling quite confident about this because, like I said, home advantage, I think, in this fixture is going to be what's key.
Yeah, probably. Athletic have not won in the capital in quite some time.
Yeah, it would have been a while ago. I just remember so many games, like when they've come to the Calderon or to the Wanda, even the game, they were the team that they played in the last game at the Calderon. And
yep.
It's just, they just never really put up a fight when they're on the road away at Atletico, and to be honest, when they're on the road away at most teams, their team is so backed so strongly at San Mamés. I mean, it's one of the best stadiums probably in Spain. It's one of the best atmospheres probably in Spain. So they, when they play at home, they play above themselves, and what you see on the road is a team that plays a little bit below themselves. So yeah, I'm not confident about Atletico's chances in this one, but at the same time, you never know what can happen, because Atletico haven't been scoring very much, and Atletico do have a good defence. They've got an almost fully healthy squad. They had a few injuries, but players are coming back. Yuri, the starting left back, he should be back for this game. Ibai Gomez, one of their starting wingers, he should be back for this game. So they've got an almost fully healthy squad, and of course they've got Raul Garcia, and Atletico fans know never to doubt Raul Garcia. Anything can happen when he's on the pitch.
Yeah, no preview of Atletico versus Athletic would be complete without talking about Rulo. I miss him. I miss him dearly. But I'm so glad that he's truly prospered at Athletic. He's been in wonderful form again this season, and pretty much since he joined back in August of 2015, such a great pickup for them, offering leadership and just continuing the path he started on when Simeone took over at Atletico. I'm so happy for him.
Yeah, he's doing well there. Top scorer there this season. He's got 4 goals for them so far. As you mentioned, they don't have many, but he's got 4 of the goals, which is a lot more than the second top scorer, which is Iñaki Williams on 2. To be fair, a few of those goals have been penalties, but Raúl García doing the business in front of goal as well as in the middle of the pitch where he just works so hard.
Yeah, and Iñaki is the other real danger man here. His directness, his speed, the goal he scored against Valladolid this weekend was pretty insane. He is, for me, kind of the other danger man here. He scored 2 goals in this fixture last year. He has to be watched, and he will be quite the test for Felipe and Hermoso, I think.
Yeah, the goal against Valladolid, if you've not seen it yet, go and look that up, because that was a classic Iñaki Williams goal, wasn't it? Long ball forward, he's so fast, he runs onto it, and then beats a defender to composes himself in front of goal and manages to finish. So, yeah, he's going to be having some confidence after that. Only his second goal of the season, but he did score last weekend. Let's keep that in mind. But, yeah, Iñaki Williams, he needs space to run into, doesn't he? And I think Atletico will be smart enough to have players back there, to have maybe one of the defensive midfielders, Thomas Partey, Hector Herrera, somebody like that, just keeping an extra eye on them and not giving them the space to run into where he can be so dangerous.
Yeah, just checking it now. The last time Athletic won at Atletico was January 30th, 2011. So under Simeone, Atletico have not lost at home to Athletic. Hopefully that is a good omen for the weekend. How do you think the midfield looks this weekend? Hector Herrera started Tuesday, did all right, played all 90 minutes. Do you think he gets a repeat start? Do we see Marcos Llorente come in?
It's an interesting one because I do think we'll see Koke in there and Saul, and
of course,
you know, Simeone will want to play Koke and just kind of get him back on track. But we do have to remember that on Tuesday there's a trip to Alaves, which is not going to be an easy trip. So in one of these games, I think Simeone is going to have to rotate. I don't know if it's going to be in this one, because although Alaves aren't as good as Athletic Club, the fact that this is the home game and the Alaves one is a one on the road, maybe this is a game you view as a slightly easier one. So maybe in this game you will see some rotation in there. Maybe you'll see Hector Herrera, Marcos Llorente, these guys given another shift, because the Alaves game, I mean, we've seen in the past how tricky it's been for Atletico there. So yeah, it's something to keep in mind when you think about the lineup for this one, because I think there's going to have to be rotation, if not on Saturday, definitely on Tuesday. But I think Simeone is going to try to do a little bit of rotation on Saturday and then a little bit on Tuesday as well, because after that, of course, then it's a big one away at Sevilla. So a tough run coming up. You need to think more than partido a partido, even if Simeone will insist that he's just going game by game.
Yeah, it's a very interesting point because of the midweek round. And then, yeah, that's a nasty little trio there. Alaves away, Sevilla away, Leverkusen away. That's a nasty little trio of games there, Ewan, over the span of about a week.
Yeah, it really is, and it's going to be really interesting. You know, the first one on the Tuesday up to the next Wednesday, 8 days that could really sort of define this opening half of the season, because you're going to need to pick up these points in the league to sort of stay in there with a chance of keeping pace with Barcelona and Real Madrid, and then the Bayer Leverkusen one away. If you can get a positive result there, even a draw there, you're basically guaranteed your qualification for the next round of the Champions League, and you can put a tick next to European football for your first half of the season. So a really decisive few games coming up before the November international break.
So you think Atletico are going to win Saturday. I believe they will win as well. I think we will see goals in this game. I don't think it'll be the defensive battle that the statistics say it might be. I think this is one of those really unpredictable ones where we see 3 or 4 goals. I do think Atletico get the victory, however, which should be a very important victory. It would likely get them back into the top 4. They're currently 6th in the table through 9 weeks, which is kind of a disappointing place to be, but there's still plenty of football left, and La Liga has been very topsy-turvy this year, to put it lightly. It's been awesome. Granada are still 3rd, La Real are 4th, and one of the most fun teams in the country. So it's been great to see, and Atletico, they have a fight here. They are in for it. La Liga is looking very deep and very fun this year, once again.
It really is. Like you mentioned, Granada and Real Sociedad just ahead of them in the table. Sevilla, I think, are behind them, but level in points as well. So, yeah, some really good teams there in Valencia. They'll pick up, surely, at some point. So, yeah, lots of good teams there. But a big opportunity this weekend, because if they win this one, they can go joint level top potentially if Granada and Real Sociedad don't win, and with the Clásicos not taking place as scheduled. So a good chance to really put yourself in that mix at the very top of the table. Right now they're just outside the top four, but a big win in this game could propel them right up into that title conversation once again.
3 points behind Barcelona, 2 behind Real Madrid. Good chance for them this weekend to get back on, not on level terms quite, but get back to within that conversation, like we said, and get a little bit closer to those other two clubs. Well, speaking of Barcelona, before we sign off, we do have to mention this. Earlier this week, it was basically confirmed that Atletico and Barcelona have reached an agreement regarding the Antoine Griezmann controversy from this past summer, which we all know and love deeply. This is first reported in El Mundo, one of Spain's largest papers, if not the largest. The agreement is that Barcelona will pay Atletico 15 million euros to keep emails under wraps, to not release emails that contain the negotiations between Barcelona and Griezmann's legal team. In exchange for this money, Barcelona will receive the rights of first refusal for 5 Atletico players. 3 youth teamers make up that 5. The other 2 players, Ewan, reportedly Saul and Jose Jimenez. So what do you think of this reported agreement?
It's so strange. It's not what I expected at all. I don't know what I expected from this rumbling on controversy where Atletico wanted Barcelona to pay compensation, wanted 80 million because they asserted that Griezmann's release clause was 200 million when this move to Barcelona was agreed before it fell on July 1st to the 120 million that Barcelona gave to La Liga to release him from his contract. I kind of thought this would end with Barcelona either not paying anything, which is what I thought would happen, or paying 80 million. I didn't really see this coming to a settlement. Okay, not in the middle, but with 15 million euros. But Enrique Cerezo has said that this has nothing to do with Griezmann. The president of Atletico Madrid is not necessarily someone who you can take his word for. He's
yes.
said a lot of things in the past which make very little sense, and this is one of them. Of course, this is about Griezmann. It's a deal to have first right of refusal on a few players, but it's a way of settling the grievance over Griezmann, because Barcelona and Atletico were in a war of words, a very public war of words over the Griezmann thing. So for them to, at the same time, be negotiating this very friendly arrangement that seems to benefit both clubs would be very peculiar, considering how institutionally things hadn't been going well in the past few months. So this is about Griezmann, this is about settling that issue, putting it to bed. Atletico get 15 million, basically makes Griezmann's transfer now 135 million euros, putting him into the top 3 of all-time transfers. And for Barcelona, they get first rates on a few players. To be honest, I'm a little bit more worried about the academy players, because Atletico's academy is really, really good. They produce some really good players. And if they're putting giving Barcelona a chance to sign some of the best players from the academy, that worries me a little bit more than Saul and Jimenez, because part of the agreement is that the players have to want to leave as well. And
right.
Saul and Jimenez are 2 of the most committed to Atletico that I can think of. So I'm not too sure that Barcelona will ever get to the point of having to have the right of first refusal for those 2 players. But the academy kids, if they don't see a path to the first team and they end up at Barcelona, that could be really disappointing if one of them turns out to be really good.
Yeah, because Atletico do have some really major prospects coming through the academy. Mm. It would be a shame if someone like Roro Riquelme was part of that deal. This whole situation it's just so shady. And Atletico, as you said, we're very much on the record in this war of words about we're not going to be bullied, we're not going to be harassed and harangued into giving up our best player or one of our best players. If you want him, you need to pay the full clause and you need to do it on our terms. And now it appears that Atletico have done this closer to Barcelona's terms than on theirs. That's probably as much extra money as they were going to get, so that's not for me, that's not like the dumbest part of this, but this right of first refusal on those 2 guys and the academy kid is just very strange. And who really knows where it came from? We never probably will know. But if I were Atletico, I just would have released the emails, just created total chaos. But they chose to maintain friendly relations with Barcelona, and that is certainly a decision that is certainly a more mature decision than what I would have done. But yeah, like you said, Saul and Jimenez have to want to leave, and they are vice captains. They're both signed to long-term contracts. Jimenez for another 4 years, Saul for another 7 years. So I'm not really that concerned there about them wanting to go to Barcelona.
And the thing with Saul is there was already reportedly a right of first refusal at Barcelona for Saul, as part of the David Villa signing years ago, which ended up winning Atletico a championship against Barcelona. As part of that deal, which was a really good deal, it was about €2 million Atletico paid up front, with about another couple of million in various add-ons. But part of that deal, again, was a right of first refusal for Saul. This was back in 2013. I believe that agreement that Barcelona had, that right of first refusal that Barcelona had then expired. But basically, they've just renewed it. And it's been 6 years since then. Saul has never had any sort of desire to leave Atletico. He's never inched towards Barcelona. As you say, the contract that runs to 2026. So if he's never sort of angled for a move to Barcelona until now, I don't really believe he will in the future. And Jimenez, it's a different case, I guess, but I'd imagine he's happy there. He's the leader of this defence. He knows that he's loved at the club. He knows he's an important player there. So yeah, it's a little bit shady, sure, but I don't think it's anything really to worry about. And it could end up just being €15 million basically for nothing.
Which, yeah, that works out nicely. Atletico would make quite the profit on their former French forward. All right, that's about it for this edition of Colts Scenario Chat. Ewan, anything else? Anything you want to plug?
No, just check out that Costa article we have up on the Into the Calderon website, talking about Diego Costa. Why is he used so much? I don't really know, but I present some of the theories that are going around as to why Costa is playing so much. So that's up there, and of course there's loads of other good articles there. One from, I think it's Robbie, on coping without Joao Felix for the next several weeks, counting down the days until he comes back. So no, I would just say check out that, because some good stuff there to look at ahead of this really, really busy and quite fun period of the schedule for Atletico.
You can find Ewan at various places on the internet. La Liga Lowdown, Managing Madrid, Into the Calderon, These Football Times. He's pretty much everywhere. Ewan, thank you so much for joining me on this edition of Colts Scenario Chat.
Not a problem at all. Thanks for having me.
He's on Twitter at emctier. I'm on Twitter at jbbaron. Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like and subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcasting platform. You can listen to all new and archived episodes on Apple Podcasts, etc. Patreon.com/ColtScenarioChat is where we have bonus podcasts, including instant analysis after every Atletico match. We'll be doing a fresh bonus pod with Rob Walker on Friday, so make sure to check that out, and another instant analysis piece after the game against Athletic on Saturday. Patreon.com/ColtScenarioChat. Talk to you all next week. Until then, adios.